And now, live from New York City via Los Angeles, California, it's time for The View from Over Here with the man who has a view for all seasons, your host, Stan Weisleder.
Okay, we just got the finger, and that means it's time to rock and roll. This is Stan Weisleder, again, on The View from Over Here.
But, Aaron, we don't have our clock on.
Oh, now we're going to have to start again?
No. I mean, he just put the clock on, so we know what time we're doing.
But he's not there.
Oh, now the clock is on? Okay.
Well,
Do
we start from the beginning?
No. People are listening to us.
Oh.
They're waiting with every second.
Wait a minute. So we're paying for all that time that he screwed up?
We're not paying for anything.
Okay.
You're paying for it now.
Anyway, I'm here in the studio with Malcolm Berman and our guest for today, Thomas J. Churchill, and we're going to tell you all about him in a little while.
But remember, he's not the Civil War general.
I know. Well, I had to explain to him what we found on the internet, and he corrected me that he's not related to that Churchill. He may be related to another Churchill, but that's another discussion
for a different time.
No,
I thought that's why he shaved his head, because it's so white. Hey, you know, if you're born in, you know, 1840.
Anyway, we have to give more credits. We're broadcasting from the Mark Grau Studios in downtown glamorous Burbank, and
but you got
to
say
we're ready
to
go.
We got to say we heard on Malcolm Digital Radio.
You just said it. You just said
it. The View from Over Here.
Yeah, why should I say
it
again?
And we're podcast.
No, you said it.
People have bad memories. They don't. You have to keep on branding.
Say it. If you want to watch this program, it's on malcolmdigitalradio.com.
You have a question, young man?
I was waving.
He's waving.
Okay.
You have to go to the bathroom. It's through that door around the back.
I got my cup.
Remember.
A cup. No, it's Malcolm's cup, and then you have to give it back to him in case he gets thirsty.
That's okay.
Anyway.
I'll tell you later when we're off the air what I used to do when I used to drive the cab in college.
Listen, before we introduce our guest.
Yeah, I thought you introduced him.
Well, I have to talk. I have to tell a little bit about him.
Oh, okay.
I have to build him
but
up.
But you're really not here.
But I'm not here yet. He said
he's not here.
He didn't introduce him yet.
He thinks he's here, but he's not here. Anything you want to talk about today, Malcolm? Any of the latest things that's going on in the planet
With the Donald?
The Donald or the Hillary or whatever.
I cannot see how anybody in their right mind could vote for Donald Trump.
Well, I say that about Hillary.
And
I don't say how anybody in their right mind could vote for her.
Yeah, but Donald doesn't know anything.
He doesn't have to know anything. He has to have the ability to hire people that know.
No, but he has to have the ability to listen to people that he hires.
Well,
I don't know if he has the ability to listen and to implement their decisions.
We just did 16 years of it.
You don't collect.
We can get past it.
You don't.
16 years of what?
Between Obama and Bush. Same type of person.
Yeah, but Malcolm, accumulate $10 billion or whatever the real number is by being stupid and not listening to people that are smarter than you.
Besides, the one who's calling the shots is the dead skunk on his head.
Yeah, well, I stayed, it's about 5-6 years ago. A friend had a condo in Trump Towers, and we stayed there for a week. And he was in and out of the elevator. But I remember the first time I saw him, he was coming out of a limo I think it was the afternoon. And as he's coming out of the limo, the sun was directly behind him. And it shone through his hair. And it was like a halo. I was about to bow to him.
You were looking at God.
And he said, one day this man's going to be president.
Right. And lo and behold, he might be. Well, I'll tell you what, it should be great for the comics. The comedians, if he becomes president.
True.
Much better than Hillary.
Construction would be going on in the White House. They're going to make it taller, a lot of gold.
No. Well, I think when he builds...
They're probably writing their material as we speak right now.
Taj Mahal House.
Three lines I have. Number one, he's going to change it to the Trump House.
As he does
everything else. Number two, he's going to build the wall. On one side will be the wall in Mexico. On the other side will be a luxury hotel.
I could see that.
What, for the immigrants coming across?
No, for the people that's fighting them.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then separately, he's not going to hire any Latinos. He's going to hire the Chinese. Look how they built their wall. So it'll be Chinese labor.
Yeah, but he's inferred on some promises. He made strong inferences that he's going to do blah, blah, blah and bring jobs here. So he's not going to import coolies from halfway around the world to do that work.
Coolies? Okay.
I don't know what that is.
I think we're going to have this.
It precedes you. It's a term that was used before you were born.
Now, actually, I think that that term was used during the when they were building the railroads out here.
Yes, when they were building a railroad to connect the east and west coast. Right.
But you have to remember that in his amassing all this money, he's had, like, I think, three or four major failures. Where he's gone bankrupt.
Name me one of our presidents that hasn't screwed up at least a couple of times.
I don't think George Washington screwed up on anything.
The thing about him being president, okay, this country definitely needs someone that understands business and someone that can kind of bring it to another level and someone that has the brass ones to not... To make sure to stand up for what we are.
Brass what? Brass
cojones?
The brass cojones.
We could use words over here.
Oh, I wasn't sure.
Yes.
The brass balls.
That's it. Hey.
You got to
I
like
say whatever
balls.
You like here.
Okay.
So like.
He's a
but
guy.
Say it again. Sounds good.
Balls. The
good,
brass balls. This guy's got one set of brass balls. No, but the one thing about him.
I thought they were gold plated.
Might be. That's his hair. I think, yes, he would be good as a business-minded person to be in there, but he sounds like the crazy uncle at a wedding, you know, that just keeps talking and, you know, never, you know, you give him the microphone to say hello, say some kind things to the bride and groom, and he's just talking about everything and anything until he gets a chuckle.
I think you'll see him slowing down and becoming so-called more presidential.
Well,
you've seen it. You've seen it in the last two months.
2 days.
No, actually in the last week, maybe.
Yeah. I think personally, if he is the person that's going to run this country,
yes.
He's
there's
thinking.
No other
place. Are you going to Canada?
No. No,
Mexico?
You know, if I stuck around for the last 16 years with just issues and headaches and first of all, I think the best president in my time was Ronald Reagan.
I think we should end the show now.
As a kid, I didn't really understand his things, but then when you're growing up and you're looking back, and I mean, the guy was good. I mean, I would say Ronald Reagan and Clinton.
You know why he was good?
Clinton, yes.
I'll tell you why he was good, because the presidents the presidents before him kind of really denigrated the U.S.
Well,
and he got the country to believe in itself again. Whether anything else was right is immaterial.
But something that I think everybody's missing, it's no longer countries in the world. There's with the communications, with the speed that people can travel from one place to another. You can't operate. We want our country, and that would be their country. Everything is so interrelated.
Absolutely,
you cannot go back. And with the amount of people that we have in this country, which I think is great, that we've
330 plus million.
And do you realize by I think 2050?
That's just downtown.
Yeah. Right. That's my complex in Sherman Oaks. I think
we must be in the same complex.
Right. Well, I mean, my big joke. I moved out here about 30 years ago from New York, and my brother, who still lives in Manhattan, he always asked me how many miles from point A to point B, and I said, well, we don't talk about miles in Los Angeles. We talk about time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And at that time, everything was 20 minutes. Now it takes me 20 minutes to make a left turn on Ventura Boulevard. It's amazing.
Yeah. Too many people from New York moved here.
Probably.
And from other places.
Forget about it. What about
New York? No, not forget. You said forget about it.
Forget
about it.
Oh, yeah. You're
forget about it.
You're a Brooklyn guy also.
Born in Brooklyn, raised in Queens.
Brooklyn.
Look at that. Three Brooklyn guys sit at a table.
Aaron, where are you from?
Utah.
Why the hell are you with?
Where is that?
So three Brooklyn guys come in with a guy from Utah.
Utah. Who's controlling the whole sound? Oh, my God.
There you go.
I forgot my whole train of thought.
That's okay.
Well, actually, one more thing about politics, and then I will shut up. If he gets the nomination, which he probably
will. Everybody else dropped out.
Presumptive.
Well, some of them are still saying, we're going to stop him. That's stupid talk. Anyway, assuming he beats Hillary, she'll probably be the Democratic, runner.
He's going to definitely beat her.
And you cannot buy him, okay? That's one thing I like. You can't buy him. And number two, he's not part of the original entrenched crowd.
Yeah, but
the one that the people are, you know, rebelling against.
Right,
but that's why he's been so popular.
But
people don't want same old stuff.
But you have to realize, then you have to kick out and elect
everybody
all different people from Congress.
Right. He's not kicking out anyone.
No. The people have to.
But they're the ones that control everything.
Right, because it's the infrastructure that they don't change.
Right, but the president, even if you go back to FDR days, okay, you get on, you do your fireside chat, you get on, then it was radio, now it's TV, okay, and you talk to your constituents across the entire country, 330-plus million, and this is what I'd like to do, and if you agree with me, write or call or phone or whatever your representative, your congressman, and your senator. Both.
I just wrote my local congressman when I was coming here.
You know your local congressman?
No, I have no clue.
Right. I mean, the thing is, most people do not know their local congressman.
Listen, Malcolm, most people don't know
he's
shit.
He's selling flowers on the corner.
Yeah. Most people don't know if you ask people who a big thing here is city council.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you realize that a city council person earns, I believe, $179,000? Plus, they're covered for their office. They have their assistants are paid for. They have a car. They have a chauffeur. What do they pay for? Then they go on vacations. They say, "Oh, it's a we went to London because we wanted to see how the London
expense
subway
account."
You're right.
So what you're saying is that you would like that job.
Yes. I'm in fact.
How do I sign up?
In fact, next year I think I am running for the city council.
Well, you have to run for it. You have to get elected.
But the best job in town actually is county supervisor. Because nobody knows. I think there are five of us. I don't know how many. Okay. I don't even know how many of them. But nobody knows their name.
Well,
they're making about $250,000 a year.
He's the guy in charge.
And they're in charge of all the money coming into right. L.A. County, Los Angeles County, Los Angeles supervisors. Nobody knows them.
The one thing about what Trump scares me, I mean, first of all, I think he may be a good president just from what he can bring to the table. I said maybe. I didn't say
okay.
He will. He scares me with the whole, you know, if people get out of line, punch him in the nose. I mean, is he going to be like that? But, you know, I mean, I
no,
understand
he will
it.
Fire them.
But not just – but you got to think, this is a guy that would have access to that button.
Yeah.
You know, and he's got access to that button that if he's pissed off, what is he going to do?
Before
he can press the button, he has to remember the code that he has to put in.
Yeah,
first.
From what I understand.
He can't remember the code. The button does nothing.
You know, he's going to have his whole family working there, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know?
But I understand that if he becomes president, Obama's going to take the button with him. He's not going to leave the button in the White House.
Well, he don't even know what that button does. He hasn't used it. And doesn't know anything about it.
But what frightens me is like his foreign policy. So, let Japan develop nuclear weapons. Let North Korea.
He'll get schooled. I'm sure he'll get schooled.
I don't think
very
he
quick.
Said it.
Right, but
in
as a president,
words.
Do we want him schooled?
Well, you know,
we want a businessman that's strong and understands everything and policies and all to
right.
go
we'll,
into
we'll,
that.
We'll make him
exactly.
Secretary of the Economics.
I'm a little older than you, and I can remember back, with the exception of Roosevelt, because, I mean, he was, to a lot of Americans, he was like the only president we ever had, because four terms, you know, that's a record now, you can't do it. But I remember starting with Harry Truman, everybody said, Harry Truman, the guy's a haberdasher. What the hell does he know about anything?
And look what he did, he dropped the atomic bomb.
And so on, and so it went just about with every... Eisenhower? Oh, yeah, he's a general, but what the hell does he know about politics or running a country? And on and on. Everybody put down whoever it was until they either failed or did something halfway decent. Mm-hmm. Now, Carter, in my opinion, was one of the shittiest presidents
weakest president.
Ever had.
Him and Bush.
And people, Carter.
Senior.
Carter, yeah, he was a good president. You know.
Well, showing my age, number one, stop bouncing the cup. Thank you, sir. The one who got,
I need it when I go to the John.
No cup bouncing.
Okay.
Right,
because you don't want it all over the table.
I don't care about the table. The noise could drive you crazy. Bounce, bounce, bounce.
I could do that with my pen. How about that?
Okay. Right.
You were saying
this is the show. Like this is the radio version of Seinfeld.
Yeah. Well, that's what I wanted.
This is awesome.
We talk about nothing.
I love it.
Well, wait. We have to talk about Tom here. Okay?
We will. But
you got to introduce Tom.
Tom who?
Tom still hasn't been introduced.
Remember, the only thing I know about Tom is T-H-O-M.
That's it.
I don't know how THOS was. You said that was Jefferson?
Yeah, back
Jefferson.
In the old days, you'd see... I remember.
Did you know
T H O S period.
We went to different schools together.
Yeah. And I went to Jefferson, Frank. Anyway.
I went to Lincoln.
Did you? I went to Franklin K. Lane.
That's
in the Bronx, isn't it?
No, it's in Brooklyn.
Back in those days.
It was in Queens, and they needed to make some more money, so they changed the address to use the side entrance.
Oh.
And it became Brooklyn.
You know, it's amazing. Back in those days, most of the schools were named after presidents.
Yep.
And now?
I'm not going to say it on their name.
Well, most of the bills are presidents except for one, right?
Let's see.
Most of the money. It's all presidents except
for...
Well,
not been Harry Tubman there. Harry Tubman.
She's not on yet.
$100 bill.
Or Chase.
Franklin.
Franklin.
He's not a... He was never a president.
He was never a president?
Yeah,
you sure?
He's a guy that told him to go take a walk.
Go fly a kite.
Go fly a kite.
The money... Now the money comes out.
Look at this guy. Look at this guy right here with the knot of money.
I can't even put this in the bank because that's all I have. Franklin, he was not a president.
No. And Andrew Jackson, somebody should have combed his hair before he snapped
He had the modern style, except he didn't see that. He was shaved on the head and he had it.
Now, are they taking his picture off because he was like a bona fide racist?
I think they're putting the back of the picture, the back of the...
Who are they putting him?
Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman back. I think it's in the back of the bill. But
really?
That's funny.
I don't know.
She didn't stay.
What did
back
she do again?
She didn't stay the Underground Railroad.
Ah, yeah, gotcha. Sorry.
But
history.
But it's funny because if it was Rosa Parks, she wouldn't stay in back of the 20. She would want to go in the front.
She wanted to go in the front.
Wow.
Right.
We just went there.
I just thought about it.
That was pretty good. Actually, I think she should have been somewhere, no?
Who? Rosa?
Well,
we should switch all the money.
Not old enough.
Who has the prettiest money? I don't know if they still have it, but Canadian money. Because each denomination is a different color.
Wow.
Like a one, I forget what it is. It used to be.
We should get rid of the penny because it really means nothing.
I haven't been to Canada in years.
And then you got, Lincoln is on the penny and the $5 bill. Why does he have to have both?
Beats me.
Why is he looking the other way?
Now, why do we need the penny? Actually, I looked that up once. It costs more to make those coins than the coins are worth.
Right.
And I think the cutoff point is about a nickel.
The pennies always end up just in the tray at the 7-Eleven. Right there, because that's
what everyone... just a little funny story. Aside.
And Tom Churchill is here.
Tom who? I remember...
He's trying to be funny.
He's trying to get his...
Don't pay attention.
Funny how?
He drove down here. He's trying to get some time to promote himself.
See this button over here? If I press this button...
It's an ejection seat.
Your seat goes through the trap door, and down below is a pit of hungry alligators.
Just
underneath
alligators?
The floor. Well, it's enough.
Sounds like my ex.
Well, you're from Brooklyn, right?
Originally.
Sharks.
Knickerbocker Street in Nimrod.
Where's Knickerbocker Street?
It's next to Nimrod. It's in Bushwick.
Bushwick section.
I don't know if I've ever been to Bushwick.
Well, now
it's different.
We can't afford it now, but back in the old days, you couldn't give it away.
I think I tell the story. I have a friend whose daughter just moved to Williamsburg. I said, Williamsburg? What is she, crazy? And she's a college graduate. She works for an ad agency.
All changed.
She moved in now.
She has a one-bedroom. I think it's like...
It's crazy.
It's 1,000 square feet. She's paying $3,000.
Yeah.
Williamsburg, Greenpoint, even downtown Brooklyn, they just built the Barclays. Well, not just. A couple years ago, they built the Barclays Center.
Yeah.
But down there, nobody wanted to stay down there. You know, you either went down there because it was courts, you had to go there for something that was, the city didn't want you. So you had to go across the
water. Brooklyn Heights wasn't bad. That was always a failure.
It changed. I mean, Brooklyn, somebody asked me one day, what did Brooklyn look like when you were there? And I said, man, I sound so old. I said, the only thing that came to my head was, you ever see the beginning of Welcome Back, Cotter? He said, who? And I said, Welcome Back, Cotter. And I said, what's that? And I said, if you watch the beginning, go to YouTube, look up Welcome Back, Cotter, the intro of Welcome Back, Cotter. The way craziness it looked with the graffiti and the garbage, and I mean, that was Brooklyn. Yeah.
And now it's Los Angeles.
Now, wow, he went there.
It's called progress,
and I've been
Malcolm.
Here 30 years.
Yeah. Progress.
Yeah, Los Angeles, the problem I have with it is all over the place. They didn't think when they were developing it, they just said, you know what, let's put something here. Let's put something here. Let's put something here. And how do you get to these places? Now they just built, I think it begins – in a week, you're going to have the Homeless Express coming right to Santa Monica.
Okay. Well, when I was training for the marathon about 1991, and I used to train on Ocean Avenue in Santa Monica, especially on Sunday morning. And we had to, this is when Santa Monica welcomed all the homeless. And we had to jump over the homeless sleeping there.
Yeah, they're not in a welcoming.
Right, but the thing was,
no, but now the train system's going in there, so
they're overwhelmed with homeless.
The homeless weren't the families at that time. The homeless was the bums, excuse me.
Individuals.
The guys who got tossed out of Venice Beach.
It wasn't PTSD. it was a lot of drug addicts and alcoholics.
Yeah. I mean, Venice Beach, I mean, everybody says, oh, it's so nice. It's beautiful. Look, you go down, you want to see Venice Beach, you come down to Venice Beach, you look at it and say, well, okay, this is it. You got to step over, you know, druggies. You got to make sure you don't step on a hypodermic needle.
It reminds me of the West Village in New York.
If it's going to be a spot for a tourist attraction, you really need to clean it up. I say it to you guys because you guys have been here long.
They've been saying
we're not in the cleaning business.
Well, they've been saying that.
Forget it. I know a guy, Tony No Neck. He can go down there and clean.
He's a cleaner. Okay.
He's a cleaner.
Got it.
You have a problem, he'll clean it for you.
Hey,
but that's what they've been saying about Hollywood, that they're cleaning up Hollywood. Now, still go down Hollywood Boulevard, and you can see, you know, half of the stores are selling souvenirs.
Hollywood Boulevard is pretty cool up until Vine, and then everybody don't care. It's like if you're driving your car in Manhattan on the east side going up 3rd Avenue. Once you pass 96th Street, you look in the rearview mirror, all the other cars, they just disappear. And then you're driving by yourself saying, what am I, the only guy here?
Yeah. Well, you're talking about that's what in the east side of Spanish Harlem.
Yeah, I lived in Spanish Harlem once. You know, I was with somebody who happened to live there. But now you go down there, it's completely different. Everything has changed.
Well, I lived on 90th and Central Park West in the Deep Park.
What, 90th
and
West?
Central Park West. Yeah,
the West side. Always
that ain't Harlem.
No. Past 96th Street. Actually, it was past 110th because that was... Yeah, you got into Columbia area.
Oh, past 110. Yeah, that's limit still, of Central Park.
Yeah, that's still pretty cool.
You know what the name of that was? That avenue wasn't 100. It was Cathedral Parkway.
Wow.
Really?
Which is
didn't they change the name now?
No.
I have a question for you. This is a trivia. Do you know where Manhattanville is?
Yes.
Oh, you know. Okay. Do you know?
No.
Educate him.
Isn't it in Brooklyn Heights?
No.
It's in
upper Manhattan, almost like where the
Yonkers, like not Yonkers.
On the other side, well, you have the East
Mount
River
Vernon in there.
No,
in that
is
area.
It the East River?
East
is
right.
Some river? No,
the
it's the Harlem River.
One side you have New York, one side you have the Bronx.
The Bronx. Yeah. So on the New York side, Manhattanville is a little enclave, you might say, right there, adjacent to the Harlem River.
Do you know why they called the Bronx?
No. You're going to tell us.
Serious?
No.
From what I was told, and if it's wrong, don't shoot me. But
what's your email address?
My email address is 1-800-EAT. No. The reason why I was told it was called the Bronx is because that's the only borough that has the. You know, nobody calls it the Brooklyn, the Manhattan, the Queens. When the settlers came here from, like, Amsterdam, the people from, well, New Amsterdam, Amsterdam settlers went up in the area that's called the Bronx, and that family had a farm, and their last name was De Bronx.
De Bronx?
De Bronx. Okay. So when people used to go to visit them, they were going to visit De Bronx, and De Bronx became the Bronx.
Sounds reasonable.
This is what I was told.
Well, there's another borough.
I was told this.
There's another borough.
No, it ain't.
Yes, there is. The city.
No,
where are you going? You're going
Manhattan.
To the city.
No.
When you were living in Brooklyn, and you went to Manhattan. Did you say, I'm going to Manhattan?
No, it was the city.
I'm going to the city.
Yeah.
The city.
Well.
And we never call any freeways. They were all highways or parkways. Right.
Parkways.
And they were never the. You never had.
Or
we're taking the 495 to the, you know.
We would say the FDR.
Well, right. You never put the in front of it. We're going to the FDR. Oh, yeah.
You just said it.
Yeah. But like with me, you take the Grand Central.
You just said the Grand.
Well, yeah, okay. So I'm wrong. So shoot me.
Shoot me.
Pow.
Where's that?
Let me get my BB gun.
Now we have to have a thing coming. A pow.
POW?
On the screen.
Oh, POW. Give me a break.
Give me the Watusi.
Actually, I should have a little set with sound effects. Hmm. So I could give us whatever.
So if he says something clever, we could make if he says the audience applaud
or something.
Or
you get, like, on that TV screen, you get the big red X, like the old Family Feud. Like the Family Feud. Man.
Actually, he's funny, Steve Harvey. I like him.
That's cute.
Yeah, I always thought he was like, when he had hair, he always reminded me of like a fake Richard Pryor. No, well, his look. No, but he's funny. I like
the mustache.
Because with the hair was trimmed and nice and puffy, and he had that thick mustache.
Malcolm,
he just looked like a fake Richard Pryor.
I think it's time that I introduce our guest. People don't know who the hell he is.
Like, who's this extra voice?
Do we have a guest today?
Yeah, sitting right between us. His name is Thomas J. Churchill.
Hey, how you doing?
And he is an actor.
He's a Civil War general, isn't he?
No, that's his uncle.
Oh. That's the dead guy.
Okay.
Oh.
But,
when did he die?
Tom here, we call him Tom, not Tommy, but Tom or Thomas or
Tom,
Mr.
Tommy,
Churchill.
Tom, guys call
and
me
he is a screenwriter, a director, and an actor. Okay?
And a producer.
And
a radio host.
And a radio host.
He wears...
And a barber.
Six hats.
Try on my own hair.
That's why he doesn't have any hair left.
Six hats, okay?
At the same time?
No. Sometimes. Well, if it's a busy day, he
if
might
it's windy.
Be.
If it's windy.
Yeah. So he's here to tell us, and we're going to ask him some questions so our listeners can get an education about what he does and how maybe they want to do the same thing.
Instead of asking him, let him tell us what he wants
but also,
to tell us.
Tom, you're going to let our listeners know.
And what type of woman are you looking for?
Single.
Why?
Because I don't want any trouble.
Less complications.
Yeah.
No, the more complication, because then they want to get married. If it's a married woman, they don't want to.
It depends
who they're
married.
Different complications.
Yeah, it depends who they're married.
Hey, listen, I had a friend that only went out with married women because they didn't want to get married.
Okay. But he didn't worry about the other.
Of course, he died a
broken heart.
No, bullet through his head by an ex-husband.
Oh, there you go.
I was going to say he probably wore a bulletproof vest all the time,
but
it didn't cover his head,
just his
mid-body.
Yeah. Well, it's very nice to be here, guys.
All right. But, Tom, I want you to tell us. All right. Here
27
are a bunch
minutes
of,
in. Okay, it's very nice to be here.
Malcolm, we have some very important questions to ask our
guests. You talk to them.
Okay.
I'll keep quiet.
I'm going to ask you a series of questions, then we're going to let you just talk.
It's going to be like the $25,000 pyramid. Can I say
there
pass?
There you go.
Pass.
You can say whatever you like. You
if
you know any
Hi,
choice.
Mom.
Yeah, there you go.
Mother's Day,
you know,
hi, happy Mother's Day.
In fact, we're proud to be on for Mother's
Happy
Day.
Mother's Day to all your mothers out there, single mothers and mothers and mother out there.
Now that's with a mother.
You're going to tell our listeners where you're born, where you come from, what kind of school you went to, and don't include the reform school part. We don't want to know about that.
Can I leave now?
No, you have to listen. You're going to be there to
I
ask
I was born
more
a poor
questions.
Black child on a porch in Mississippi.
And how did you get here?
Practice.
Yeah, that's a lot of practice.
Yes, Steve.
Now, how did you get interested in the movie business?
Well,
seriously, no joking.
Okay, no joking aside. I'm from New York. I was born in Brooklyn, raised in Queens. At a very early age, I think it was around 6 or 7 years old, I always wanted to be an actor. I always studied all the television shows that I liked, like SWAT, showing my age, SWAT and the Rookies. I was always imitating them and practice,
the cop shows.
Yeah. Yeah. I was into that. And,
what about comedy?
You know, my mom always said, I should do comedy because I'm funny. And I said to her, funny how? Funny now.
So she's trying to tell you that you looked funny.
Yeah. She says, go brush your hair. Go brush your face. I think I was 7 years old and, they knew that I wanted to do this and I was acting out at school. So
that is when they kicked you out the first time.
I was pushed in. There was a open casting call for the movie The Champ that starred Ricky Schroeder and, John Voight. And they were looking for a Dondi type of kid. Now, if people don't know what Dondi is, Dondi was a comic strip that used to be in the Sunday newspapers, the Daily News or the New York Times. And my mom said that I looked just like him, and I ended up being in a top five for that casting call.
Was it Ricky Schroeder or Jackie Coogan?
It was Ricky Schroeder
got
and John Boyd.
The original was Jackie Coogan and Wallace Beery, right?
Jackie Coogan and Wallace, yeah, and because Jackie Coogan wasn't he the Little Rascal?
Was it Jackie Coogan or Jackie Cooper? Jackie Cooper, I think, might have been. But Jackie Coogan was in the original movie.
And with this one, they didn't have anybody locked in yet. And then John Voight was brought in. So now the casting changed. So they were looking for someone that would be his child. So Ricky Schroeder kind of fit the bill.
Yeah. I thought you were the illegal child of John
Voight. I was on the other – yeah.
Yeah.
I was in the chump, not the champ.
I think I remember that story.
Yeah, I mean, I got the picture in the article on my website. If people want to go see,
what is your website, by the way?
It is ChurchillProductions.com.
Churchill.
It's a play on my name. Yes. My last name is Churchill, like Winston, but my website is.
Who's also your long lost cousin or uncle or
uncle,
whatever?
Uncle Winnie.
My
grandmother stated that we were somehow related to him, but I don't remember getting anything in the
somehow,
world. She said somehow. Somehow. It is something, but different.
Right.
But somehow. So my sister-in-law has been working on this family tree for a while, and we're not even at that point yet if we are related to him. Although his mother, Winnie's mom.
It's American.
From Brooklyn.
Yes.
Yep. That's direct connection
that's
to
it.
Me.
That's it. We're related. We are. So.
We have royalty in our midst.
Hey, forget about it. So, but it was the Central Park Zoo my father used to take me to on like Sundays to get out of the house where my mom did the host Sunday dinner and everything
else.
Did
they have the little thing in the animals going around?
The clock. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. So my father pointed out this guy, Fred Williamson, Fred the Hammer Williamson. Yeah. He said, see that guy over there? That's a movie star. And, you know, as a kid, you never, ever saw that like that. You know, I mean, today's day, you know, you can look at a movie star at Starbucks or, it's all over the place. So I walked over. I did a beeline run over. I let go of my dad's hand, ran over to Fred Williamson, tugged on his elbow. And I said, how you doing, Mr. Williamson? I want to be an actor just like you. And he says, little man, whoa, where's your father? You know, and then my father came walking over, and they started talking. And as a kid, you're listening, and then you zone out to go look at the animals. But he was my first celebrity that I ever met. And it's funny, full circle, I ended up casting Fred in a film that I just did. My father passed away last year, and in his memory, he was an Army vet. And in his memory, I wanted to do something different. So I wrote a film called Checkpoint, which is about domestic terrorism. And one of the characters that I wanted to write.
So Williamson is in that movie?
Fred Williamson is in that film.
Did he remember you from when you were a little itty-bitty kid?
Between making that movie, I do a lot of conventions, horror conventions, pop culture conventions, signing autographs, which I'm pretty humbled about because people want my signature and I'm just me, you know, so it's kind of cool. So I was doing a convention in Pennsylvania, and Fred and I were both on the bill. And I walked into the green room, and Fred was in there by himself. So I closed the door.
Did you pull him by the elbow
Not
again?
Yet. But I closed the door because I couldn't go in there and talk to him because that's my childhood. So I ended up going in, and he's like, hey, how you doing? Hammer. And he shook my hand. I said, hi, I'm Tom Churchill. I said, we actually met. He goes, we did? He goes, I know we see each other a lot at shows, but when I brought him back to that day in Central Park, and I remember his face, his eyes, and he says, I remember that kid.
Yeah.
I remember that kid. So it was kind of cool that then we stayed in touch. We're friends. I see him all the time at the AFM. And
he played professional football, didn't he?
He won. He was part of Super Bowl I. In fact, in Checkpoint, here's a little trivia question, little trivia out there. When the movie comes out, you'll see Fred's character wearing a ring, which he wears in every film. That ring is a Super Bowl ring. And it's kind of cool to actually see it up close. So Fred Williamson was kind of cool.
He played for the Packers, then, right?
No, he played for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, the first Super Bowl was
Kansas City Chiefs.
No.
Yes.
Kansas City Packers won the first two.
Did you ever talk to him?
They didn't play themselves. They had to play.
But he didn't get for winning it.
No. I don't know if he won it.
You get a ring just for being there. If you lose.
The Green Bay Packers won the first two, and then the third one was Joe
I know
Willie.
he was on the Kansas City Chiefs, okay. And then he was also, I think he played for Oakland Raiders, and I think he played for, I think he was on Buffalo Bills for a little bit, but we don't really call that a New York team.
Since you're a good friend of his, did he ever or does he ever talk to you about what he went through early in his career, like with discrimination and stuff?
Oh yeah, all the time. He that's one of the reasons why he did his own films. I don't know if he writes them, but I know he produces and directs and acts in his own films because of that. He wanted to, you know, a star in his movies because he was tired of getting the roles that, you know, you always see.
Go back to that meeting when you were six or seven, and you
said
to him. I want
to be just like you?
Yeah, he should have said to you, like, well, you're going to have to, you know, become black first.
He said, you're Italian, right? And I said, yeah. He goes, aren't you stereotyped? And I said, forget about it. I'm going to go look at the Lions.
Very good.
He was big, wasn't he?
He's still tall.
What am I thinking of?
Black Panthers?
Black exploitation films.
Films. He was actually in. Why can't I?
Because
Pam Grier came out of those films as well. Coffee,
bunch.
Yeah. One of my good friends, Mel Novak, who...
Is he black also?
No. He was in Black Belt Jones. He was part of the whole blaxploitation films. He was in, Black Belt Jones. He was in a few Charles Bronson, Chuck Norris movies.
Chuck Norris.
He was in, I'm sorry, Mel, if you're listening. I can't remember some of the names of the movies, but he played, he killed Bruce Lee in Bruce Lee's last film that he had, Game of Death, which was Bruce Lee's in one scene, and then they kind of redid Bruce Lee with some other guy. You know, it's kind of like a weird film, but Mel Novak plays the main bad guy in that. He's also in Checkpoint.
Was he born in Brooklyn also?
No, he's got a cool story. He's from Pennsylvania. He was part of he played for the Pittsburgh Pirates, got hurt, was really angry. Came out to L.A. just to get away from it, ended up meeting somebody who said, you should model, ended up starting to model, and then from the modeling became an actor.
So you have all your friends in that movie.
I try, and then there's friends that I had in that movie that I'll probably never work with again.
It's difficult working with friends sometimes.
Yeah.
It depends.
No, I mean, or people that think you're your friends, and then you end up working for them, and then they're not really...
Well, you're not really doing it because you're friends with them. You're doing it because
you love them,
and you want to help them out, and into the camaraderie.
Absolutely. No, I when I cast friends or family in projects is for two reasons. Number one, to help them out, to give them something that I think would be good for. And if I'm writing something for them in mind, I would want them to shine. I don't just put people in the movies because I used to do that when I was a kid. I made my first movie at 17. I had most of that. Everybody in that film was either friends, family, or ex-bosses.
Yeah, that's all you could afford.
That's all. And it's like, hey, can you work for me on this Saturday?
I think, didn't Steven Spielberg start out that way,
making
little home movies?
Yep.
Yeah, when he was 4 years old, I think.
No, a little more than four.
He did every – it's funny when you read about people's lives and then you're not – it's like you got the same path. You know, you broke to a certain time and you got it, you know, and it's kind of cool that you realize you're not alone. Even though you're going through all the struggling and then you read about like Orson Welles and your Spielberg and Hitchcock and you're like, oh my God, they went through the same crap.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as an overnight success.
Now, look, Stallone was trying to sell his story, I think, for 10 years.
That long?
Yeah. Right, and that's all they could say.
Well, you know, he became a big hit because he insisted that he play that part.
That's right.
Otherwise, he just would have gotten writing credit.
That's right.
That, and that's it.
and he was broke down to his $100, and they offered him a lot of money, and he said, no.
It's like Trump, he was down to his last $2 million until his father helped him.
Chaplin? Or Trump?
Sure.
Well, it's always nice to have a piece of change like that in your pocket.
Well, he said that his old man gave him only $1 million.
Right, that's, but I understand he got $20 million from the estate. $1 million in those times?
It was a lot of money.
For me, it's a lot of money now.
You know, he came from the life of poverty and struggling.
Yeah.
And tried to figure out how to earn a dollar.
He's the American success story.
He's still got his first hair piece, as you can see.
Yeah. It's amazing. Wow. He has that much money and he can't get a good hair.
I heard somebody trying to feed that.
Well, that's his hair, isn't
it? Somebody was trying to feed it, I saw. There's YouTube pictures.
Is it alive?
They were trying to give it a cracker.
That's one thing that I don't like about him. No. It looks – he can't go on like that the rest of his life with that.
Well, as long as he's married to someone that's 40 years younger than him, yes.
And looks like it.
And that's going to be I would say the very first hot-looking first lady we're going to have.
Well, they had which she wasn't that hot for me, was Jacqueline Kennedy.
No, comparison.
She was attractive and in a classy way, but not in a, good God, why am I looking at the first lady like this?
Well, that would be the main reason for voting for
Trump.
Put
it this way, if every president had a first lady that looked like that, they wouldn't dabble with cigars.
Well, I don't know about that.
How about FDR?
Yeah.
Well,
Franklin, before your time.
No, I know who he is, but didn't he, did he?
Yeah.
He had girlfriends.
They all did.
Well, they say she was a lesbian.
I'm a lesbian.
But I didn't realize she was 5'11".
Wow.
He was over 6 feet.
He never stood up?
No. Well, he couldn't.
They measured him while he was lying
always
down.
He was always at attention.
Yeah.
Now, but I put the blanket over him.
Can you imagine today's day? You know, they never shot him in the wheelchair. You never see a shot of FDR in the wheelchair. You always see him standing.
No. He's sitting in some kind of a chair.
He might be sitting, but you never see him moving in the wheelchair.
Oh, you mean you don't see the wheels?
Right. No. You see the wheel, and you never see him being
Saw the baseball cards and the spokes.
No.
Okay. That's true.
I don't remember
that at all.
No.
But the thing is,
what that is? You know what baseball cards are and the spokes?
Yes, I know. I'm from Brooklyn.
Okay.
But you know something?
You guys know what stickball is, right?
Yeah.
Oh, are you kidding?
God.
Come on.
I was trying to tell somebody that. Like, what does that mean? What do you mean? What does that mean?
Stickball. Oh, I got to tell you a quick story.
Okay. Make it quick.
It'd be quick. Yeah. We're
looking at the big clock. That's why everybody's looking at us. We're looking over here.
When we first moved up to the suburbs, we moved from the city to Rockland County. So you buy all of the stuff that you have for a house. You know, the saws and this and that. You need all that stuff in the house, right? Because you're going to do carpentry work, repair the roof.
You
so
never
forth.
Do it.
I said to my wife, I'm going to make the kids, two kids then, Mindy and Sharon, I'm going to make them a scooter like I had when I was a kid. And now I got the tools. I could make it fast. I could make two of them in about an hour. And I did. I got the equipment, I got the skates, whatever, and I said, okay, guys, I just made this for you. You each have a scooter, and you know what they said?
That's a scooter.
What's that?
Wow.
Well, when we had a scooter, what we did was take a plank of wood, you know, cut it off to about, 6 feet, 5 feet, whatever it is, nail the half of the skate on one side and the other side.
Yeah.
Took a orange crate.
Exactly.
Like Back to the Future.
Down, yeah.
Yeah.
And took two big stick of wood on either side
exactly.
for handlebars.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I did that with when I was a kid, we took the bottom of a carriage and we kind of made a go-kart with the bottom of the carriage.
Yeah, that'll work too.
This is when kids were kids. Now, with kids out there, they don't understand parks. They don't understand stickball. They don't have real friends. Everybody is virtual, and they're texting. And you want to know about the zombie apocalypse? It's already here. Just stop at a red light and look at everybody in their phone.
Well, what the word commercial is, and I'm forgetting the product, but there's a family, and it's on now, and it's a family, and the daughter says, I think they're two daughters and a husband and wife, and she says, the internet is gone. Yeah, we don't. The internet is out. And 2 minutes later, he said, "Oh, it's not on again." The father said, "It'll be on in a minute." And 5 minutes later, the internet's gone, and we're missing everything that's happening in the world. And then the older daughter, 5 minutes later, is playing sort of like a piano horribly, and everybody is sort of, they don't know what to do. The internet's off.
Right. It is sad.
And,
but, Malcolm, I do the same thing. I'll use the internet to get news, okay? Find what's happening. Now, a lot of it is crap, I tell you right now. The stuff that they put out on the internet, a lot of it is garbage, okay? Truly. Bullshit. Most of it. Mm-hmm. But it'll give you an idea what where people are coming from and what they're thinking. And occasionally you'll find something that's true and real. And if you like that subject, you could expand out and do a little research. I haven't gone to the library probably in about 10 years.
Yeah.
I rely on this.
I have to say one thing. When you said the word crap, you know that was the dude, that guy's name got synonymous with shit now.
The crapper. That's
John Crapper.
That's what they call him, the crapper.
Yeah, John Crapper was the guy who built the first outhouse.
Right.
Seriously, I'm going to go take a crap. You know, never really take a crap. Yeah. You drop a crap.
You give a crap.
You give
a crap.
Yeah,
that's
like
saying I'm going to take a leak. You don't take one.
You don't take it.
One.
You leave it. You leave it. You pass it for someone else.
Well, that's why people learning English as a second language get awful confused.
Yeah.
Where am I taking the leak to? Where am I taking it to?
Exactly. Oh, I love that. I love
talking to
somebody and they ask you something and you just answer them. And they're like I say, yeah, you want me to put this over there by the stoop?
Bye.
What? A stoop. What's a stoop? You know, like I'm bending?
Most people, I said it before and I'll say it again, most people, a lot of adults, including a lot of college graduates,
mm-hmm.
they don't know shit from Shinola about most things.
No, they don't.
They don't even know American history. They know nothing about what happened during World War II or any World War for that matter.
World War II, when was that?
Okay, so you're one of them. Okay.
No, they don't know if it's not happening now or it wasn't on YouTube. They don't know what it is.
It's not even the news. It's on YouTube, right? It has to be on YouTube.
It's got to be on YouTube.
I mean, most of the kids don't.
One of my daughters. Yeah. You know all three of my daughters. Okay. One of them, not going to mention the name in case she's listening.
You know who you are.
Right.
Yeah, you know who you are. You know what she does for education? She watches the Kardashians.
Well, because you know, they are American.
Right.
And they know history.
Who is it for? One of the Kardashians, somebody asked, what is she famous for?
Porno.
What does she do?
Nothing.
She was famous for the porn.
She did a porno.
Have you ever
did
seen
Did she
it?
Really do a
yes,
porno?
I did.
Yes, she
yeah.
did.
A real porno?
Real
honest to goodness?
Yes, yes.
Who did she do it with?
Her boyfriend, which was AJ.
Jay-Z?
No, not Jay-Z.
Yeah.
I think it was AJ something who was Brandy's brother.
Did Brandy. She ever marry him or some other guy?
And it was totally graphic.
It was
really,
yeah. I mean, yeah. And she, they sold it and made money. Paris Hilton got famous for not because of her last name, for the same thing. And
I just learned something.
So if you want to get famous,
if you watch the Paris Hilton porno, you really need to catch a nap beforehand.
Yeah.
It's boring.
No, it's
but Kim Kardashian is a little exciting. Yeah. You know, it's like
She did what?
Wow.
She really did a porno.
She really did a porno.
Yeah. Well, she didn't go out and set out to do it. She was a socialite who her boyfriend said, hey, baby, let's videotape us doing it.
Wait a minute. Pam Anderson did something like that.
She did two of them.
Yeah. But she didn't do it to sell as a porno. That was for
her
and
her
husband.
Yeah. Her and her guy, but someone stole it.
Right.
Well, they don't steal it. You actually let it go to get money.
They hacked her site.
That
happened to the football player?
Is that what it was? They hacked it?
How would they know about it? Because they were probably bragging about it. Who just passed away, the wrestler, did one, a couple of them.
Yeah, but she did it as an actress. She did it professionally.
Yeah, she did it as...
Well, wait a minute. Our guest of a few weeks ago knew her well.
Hank Aaron.
Yeah,
Hank Aaron, good guy. Love
Hank.
I just had lunch with him yesterday.
You have the same PR agents, right?
We have the same agent.
Joe Williamson.
Williamson Management. Big ups for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's supposed to get to see the other wrestler. What was her name?
The lady wrestler.
The lady wrestler.
Yeah, Joe is
Maureen.
Actually,
phenomenal.
She could have been here instead of you today.
Who? Lorraine Landon?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was in. She was also wrestling. She was a
Don't take offense by this, but she is better looking than you.
She's amazing. We're all under the same family.
In fact, I remember her movie, the one that I like that movie.
All the Marbles.
Yeah.
She was also in Airplane 2, and she was in Conjure. And
Airplane 1 was funny.
Yeah, Samurai Cop 2, and she was in Maniac Cop 1 and 2.
But the one, All the Marbles, she played a big part.
With Peter Falk, she. Mm. So let me get this straight here.
Yeah. Who did Airplane One? What was the name of the producers?
The Zucker Brothers.
Yeah, they were. We used to, in the previous show in Another Life I used to do, we had them on as guests. And one of their, I forget which
really
one.
Funny, right?
No, one of their wives actually was a doctor. Who worked with AIDS patients.
Oh, wow.
Very, very interesting.
Well, it's definitely not funny.
No, definitely not funny. They know they weren't funny, but the movie is hilarious.
That movie's
such
great.
A classic.
Greatest scene in the movie is when the shit hits the fan. And he says that. We can't do this. The shit will hit the fan if that happens. And then we cut to a fan and a pile of shit goes flying into it. It's great.
And
they asked the guy, what can you make of this? And he says, oh, I can make a hat. Yeah, I can make a robe.
And Shirley, you don't mean that. Yeah. I mean it, but don't call me Shirley.
Yeah. And everybody in the cockpit was Roger, over, and under.
Yeah.
Roger? Yes. Over, under. That was great. That, kids out there and people, if you haven't seen that movie, go out there and check it out.
And with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
There are a lot of movies like that. Yeah. No, what is that? Or I never heard of that.
Well, Billy, have you seen a grown man naked?
Yeah.
You know, he's like, what?
Peter Graves.
Yeah, that was great. You ever go into a gymnasium and smell the sweat?
Some of the gymnasiums really stink. I remember
sweaty balls.
The gold plated version or the brass version?
It's the sweaty orangutan balls.
Or isn't that the Alec Baldwin thing on Saturday Night Live?
Sweaty balls.
And then they had that on network television.
Alec Baldwin.
Balls.
You know what?
I don't know
if you guys agree, but I've seen.
He could be a good president. I'd vote for him.
If somebody is a
I like Kevin
good
Spacey
comic.
Myself.
Like he is, he does comedy well. Any good comic will make a great actor.
But he's not known as a comic. He's known as an actor
who does
comic roles.
Yeah, he's good at comedy. He's good at comedy too. But yeah, like Robin Williams, who was phenomenal as a serious actor, but a great comic. Kevin Spacey's a great comic, as well as a great impersonator.
He's a great song and dance man.
Wow.
You ever see him sing and dance? That's unbelievable.
He does the Bobby Darin story he did.
He did that.
Well, speaking about that, he's been on TV with Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon is so talented.
Jimmy Fallon.
Everything.
You know, that guy, everybody was a little questioner when he was taking over the Tonight Show, but I think he's amazing, and he is perfect for that show.
There are two Jimmys on late, right?
Jimmy Kimmel
on 7, Jimmy
Not
Fallon.
Jimmy No Neck. He's down at the garage watching the car.
So I always refer to it as the War of the Jimmys.
The Jimmys.
Yeah, which Jimmy do you want to
watch?
They're
both good. Yeah. They're
well, that's good. That's why you have TiVo these.
You remember
Jimmy's? Now you from Sherman Oaks. You know that flower place that's across the street from the Cadillac dealership on it's on Ventura Boulevard, by Tyrone. It looked like a gas station, but it's a florist.
Yeah, that's where
Beverly Glen.
Yeah, that's where your son-in-law owns the.
He got rid of it.
Did you know
he owned
from Brazil.
Car wash?
Well, that florist was a gas station at one time, that is the last spot James Dean filled up before he died.
But by the way, that's an excellent florist. It's a touch of romance. It's called.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't really go in there.
Go there. I'm married. You're not. You have.
No, I'm very single.
Yeah.
Single.
Okay. And where can we?
S-I-N.
No. All right. How can all of these single people reach you if they want to?
We have 2 minutes left.
Make believe they
want
to reach you. How would they reach
you? 2 minutes. Go.
Hey, how you doing out there? If you guys want to reach out to me, you can check me out at Facebook at Thomas G. Churchill, Twitter at Thomas Churchill. Go to my website at Churchill Productions. Catch my films. If you don't know who I am, there's a movie coming out called Checkpoint. You can go to checkpointthemovie.com and check out the trailer. It's coming out September in limited theatrical release. You can check out my film Lazarus Apocalypse or Lazarus Day of the Living Dead, whatever title they're calling it, on Amazon Prime, streaming right now. Or you can go and get the DVD, which soon will be available at Lazarus Apocalypse on Facebook. You can also check out The Emerging Past, also streaming right now on Amazon Prime. Or you can wait to the DVD Blu-ray coming out in September. Check out Samurai Cop 2, available right now on DVD and Blu-ray. Go check out Mr. Hush. MrHush.net is a movie I produced. What else can I talk about?
Well,
I can also talk about One more.
And your spare time, you're an Uber driver, right?
And no. And here's the cool thing.
Yeah, 45 seconds.
Check out Born to Ride Television TV, borntoride.com. I'm wearing that shirt if you see me on a video. Born to Ride is one of my partners, Ron Galletti, Chris DeGrotti, Rob Ori, and myself, Thomas Churchill. We are producing a new film called Nation's Fire. It's a biker thriller, nothing like you ever seen before.
Okay,
bigger,
say,
louder.
Say Happy Mother's Day to you.
Happy Mother's Day, every mother out there. But go to Nation's Fire on Facebook, like the pages, check me out, listen to these guys every week. They're amazing. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day. And
you said that.
And if,
Happy Father's Day next month, because I'm not going to be here.
Hey, we may call you back.
Hey, oh, I'll be here.
Anyway, Aaron, it's a wrap. That's okay. Over.
That was pretty good.